Squad. Hey, just real quick, you're listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. The girls are at their camps. It's tough. The summer's tough. You're going to have to give me like a 15-minute buffer over the summer. But this show is called Fast and Loose, and I will be playing the Fast and Loose type of stuff, okay? And it's going to be great, and we're going to have a great time. And I'll see you out there. This is not yet, though.
They say being alone can be a dangerous place, but I'm having way too much fun on my own when it's all said and done. I did it for my health. Could have really used some help.
Bye. Dream.
in summer, making quests for works of art or scenes renowned for beauty, I explored that streamlet whose blue current works its way between romantic dovetails, spirally rocks. Pride into Yorkshire dales or hidden tracks of my own native region, and was blessed between these sundry warnings with a joy, above all joys, that seemed another morn, risen on a mild noon. Blessed with the presence, friend, of that soul sister, her who hath been long dear to thee also, thy true friend and mine, now, after separate, desolate, restored to me such absence that she seemed a gift then first bestowed. The varied banks of Emerald, hitherto unnamed in song, and that monastic castle mid the tall trees, low standing by the margin of the stream, a mansion visited, as Frame reports, by Sidney, where in sight Varhelevin, or stormy Crossfell, snatches he might pen of his Arcadia, by fraternal love inspired. That river and those mouldering towers have seen us side by side when, having climbed the darksome winding of a broken stair and crept along a ridge of fractured wall, not without trembling, we and safely looked forth through some Gothic window's open space and gathered with one mind a rich reward from the far-stretching landscape by the light of morning beautified or purple eve, or, not less pleased, lay on some turret's head, catching from tufts of grass and harebell flowers their faintest whisper to the passing breeze, given out where midday heat oppressed by plains.
Yeah.
Nay, traveler, rest. This lonely yew tree stands far from all human dwelling. What if here no sparkling rivulet spread the verdant herb? What if the bee love not these barren boughs? Yet, if the wind breathes soft, the curling waves that break against the shore shall lull thy mind by one soft impulse saved from vacancy. Who he was that piled these stones and with the mossy sod first covered, and here taught this aged tree with its dark arms to form a circling bower, I will remember. He was one who owned not common soul, in youth by science nursed, and led by nature into a wild scene of lofty hopes, he to the world went forth a favored being, knowing no desire which genius did not hallow, against the taint of dissolute tongues and jealousy and hate and scorn, against all enemies prepared, all but neglect. The world, for so it thought, owed him no service, wherefore he at once with indignation turned himself away, and with the food of pride sustained his soul in solitude. Stranger, these gloomy boughs had charms for him, and here he loved to sit, his only visitants a straggling sheep, the stone chat, or the glancing sandpiper. And on these barren rocks, with fern and heath and juniper and thistle, sprinkled o'er the fixed downcast eye, he many an hour a morbid pleasure nourished, tracing here an emblem of his own unfruitful life. And, lifting up his head, he then would gaze on the more distant scene. How lovely it is, thou seest. And he would gaze till it became far lovelier, and his heart could not sustain the beauty. Still more beauteous. Nor that time, when nature had subdued him to himself, would he forget those beings to whose minds, warm from the labors of benevolence, the world and human life appeared a scene of kindred loveliness. Then he would sigh, inly disturbed, to think that others felt what he must have never felt. And so, lost man, on visionary views would fancy feed, till his eye streamed with tears. In this deep vale he died, this seat his only monument. If thou be one whose heart the holy forms of young imagination have kept pure, stranger, henceforth be warned, and know that pride, however disguised in its own majesty, is littleness, that he who feels contempt for any living thing hath faculties which he hath never used, that though with him in its infancy, the man whose eye is ever on himself doth look on one, the least of nature's works, one who might move the wise man to that scorn which wisdom holds unlawful, ever. Oh, be wiser, thou, instructed that true knowledge leads to love. True dignity abides with him alone, who, in the silent hour of inward thought, can still suspect and still revere himself in lowliness of heart. Lines left upon a seat in a yew tree, read by me, poorly, and amidst antisocialites by always. Enjoy. This is Fast and Loose. That song's awesome. It's awesome. I don't listen to that one very often. And we're doing the whole album, Anti-Socialites. The thing is about doing the whole. I used to do a little bit more, and I kind of stumbled upon this today, due to not preparing. But just because In Undertow is a great song, and it happens to be the first song on the album, and then it's like, all right, let's just play the whole thing. Quick PSA for you. Your one blood donation can help save the lives of up to 3 people. Make a difference in the lives of others. Give blood through the American Red Cross to help hospital patients. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org today. 2 giving blood stories for you. First one is in college. You know, they come by and they're like, we're going to be in the student center and you should give blood. And so I went. I remember going with Molly, and we had this competition of who could give blood the fastest. I think I completely made it up. I did. You know Molly. She's not going to be like, I can do this better. But she is competitive. And anyway, I did bleed the fastest, which I don't know if is a brag, but I did. I bled right out. And then later on that day, this is a classic me still, like forgot to eat. And then I went up to the CRC, and I think I was playing indoor soccer, and I basically just collapsed over the boards and like slept it off behind the bench area, which is gross. Like in college, you can kind of bounce back from anything. So like, I don't think anybody was really worried about me. Like, oh, is he going to be okay? It was more like, don't like be down there. That's like, cause like when you play indoor soccer, when you're inside, you can't. That's the place you spit. It's gross, but that's where you spit. You spit behind the bench into like the little lattice work of plastic back there. And it is gross. And that's like where I was. And that's like, your skin can't touch that, you know, because of just the layers upon layers. It's gross. I'm going to keep talking about it. So anyway, don't do that. You got to give blood and then you eat and then you like maybe you kind of work through it. But I did not do that. Second one is for a long time, actually, I couldn't give blood because they always ask you like, what countries have you been to? And I was in Thailand, and it's like, that was later on. And you can't, like, if you're in certain places at certain times, my dad, the same thing happened. He was in England apparently during a mild mad cow breakout. And they're like, you can't. So it was like a 30-year ban or something for him, or maybe a lifetime. I don't know. But from that, the joke I always would make is I got SARS, like the first ever, you know, SARS COVID-2 or whatever. SARS was like, I think in high school that was like the thing. And so I always joked like, oh no, I got SARS in Thailand and that's why I can't give blood. And then I move up here and it evolved in my mind from a joke to reality, as many hyperboles tend to do, where I just would present that information just like, yeah, I got SARS in Thailand. I don't know where, how this happened, but it came up in conversation with someone I didn't know. So I'm like, I'm like at a dinner at someone's house and they're being super nice and they're hosting me. And we start talking about like diseases. And this was like before COVID. This had to have been like 2017. And I go, you know, I got SARS in Thailand. And he's like, no, you didn't. I'm like the chief epidemiologist for the CDC, I think at the time. And he's like, I know who got it in the United States and you didn't. Like, I just demographically, I just know that you didn't. And it was like, it wasn't like a, oh, hey, I'm calling you out here. It was like a, you shouldn't joke about this. So anyway, that whole thing died right there. And I, you know, that relationship did not flourish. And that's just a, you know, maybe a PSA to all of you. And essentially, and maybe we're living in a world where that's not funny anymore post a recent pandemic. But man, I tell you what, telling people you got SARS in 2017 was a real 5 out of 10 story, you know. It was better than talking about sports. It was slightly better than the game last night. All right. Yes. Yes.
Instead of anywhere.
Okay, we've come to that time where I think I'm going to be mostly wrapping it up. Okay, what did we listen to? The entire album of Antisocialites by Always. And that was a lot of fun. Interspersed with like some poor readings of words written on the side of a yew tree. Oh, geez. I close. It's words written on the side of a yew tree by William Wordsworth, though someone asked. And then the thing before that, it was literally just like the middle excerpt of prelude to that poem, which describes his entire day of like walking around the English countryside. And I think why Yew Tree is really important as a poem by Wordsworth is that it really describes like that feeling of like, what have I accomplished? And then like, what is out there that's just like bigger than me? And I'm going to be reading a lot more poems on the show, mainly because I need to get better at reading poems. And because I, especially at the end there, there's like a really profound sort of like, man, if I am all there is, that's a real bummer to me. But then looking up at this tree, you sort of realize the ecosystem that you're a part of. And that's really this beautiful thing. And I do think that is like, I don't know. It only can be landed in poetry. That concept can only be landed in poetry. And I think as I was reading a book about some tree in the Pacific Northwest, the book is called Golden Spruce. I don't know. People have probably read that book. And a lot of it, there's a lot of imagery about like what a tree is in the context of like human history. And also, there's a Wordsworth poem in there that I can't find that's referenced to, that's like referenced in sort of in the middle, and I cannot find it either in part or whole. Mainly because yew tree like looms. Like if you search Wordsworth tree poem, it's like yew tree is what you get, and that's or the prelude, which is also like a very long prelude, like several thousand lines. Anyway, back on 74 in the background, it's jungle. I'll be here. And I'm going to say this as a PSA to you as well. You got to give me 15 minutes in the summertime. I'm like getting people. It's like we're off the schedule. Especially Jin is like new thing every week, camp every week, all those kind of things. So I am like scrambling to fill time. Or not fill time. Scrambling to make sure that we get places on time. Yeah. Might be a little late, but that's okay. And then also... Oh, I was going to say, that's where we get the word idiot from, is like idios is means one or self, like oneself. And so an idiot is somebody who is like constantly looking inward at themselves. And I think about that when I read Yew Tree. And in my mind, it's like really good and it has like an English accent and stuff. But otherwise, you know, it's just my own deal. So anyway... Hey, stick around. Music you might otherwise miss is coming up next. I have to go to work, which is a huge bummer. And I think you're going to have a great day. And I think it's going to be nice and cool. And I took my children camping on Pettix Island in the Boston Harbor. You have to take a ferry there and you have to bring everything. And it was really great. Two nights. And they're real troopers. So that was awesome. And yeah, TK's in the studio. And I'll see you out there.
ressemblance à la grande bourgeoisie.